Hey guys, so great to see you tonight. Can we just give Lucy and the team a round of applause? We're really blessed to have such an amazing worship team, and thanks guys for leading us in worship tonight. As always, I am really pumped to be sharing with you tonight. My name is Matt, for those of you who don't know. I get to share about something that has been on my heart over these last few weeks. I'm really looking forward to it. And what I get to share with you tonight is it's on the screen already, so you already know what I'm sharing about, but it's on forgiveness. And I wonder, when you hear that word forgiveness, how does it make you feel? It can bring up many different emotions, but I believe whether you know God a lot, a little, or not at all, what God has to say around forgiveness can really help you in your life as well as your relationships. And I want to be real tonight. I want to be practical, as I know that this brings up many different emotions, and it's a little bit of a hard topic to look into. So to start, I want to ask you a question. Who here is the oldest sibling in their family? Who's the oldest? I am too, and I've done a fair bit of research in this leading up to my message, and everything I found said that the oldest sibling was the most intelligent, the most easily to succeed. Would anyone else agree with that? Yeah, we all agree with that. Yeah, amen. And I think that's because as older siblings, it's actually pretty hard for us. Like, we have to be like the test dummy for our parents. Our parents, like, don't know how to parent, and so they're like testing it on us, rules, etc. And like, if you're the eldest child, you've got like the expectations on you. You have to set the example. Setting the example for your younger siblings. If you do something wrong and they copy you, it's your fault. I know for me growing up, I've got two younger brothers, Ben and Josh, and Mum would always do a lot of baking, and I loved choc chips as part of the baking. So there'd always be a packet of choc chips in the cupboard, and I'd always be pretty sneaky, and I'd get the scissors out, and you just cut that really top corner so no one can see what you've done. And I'd steal some choc chips every now and then. But then Josh and Ben caught on to it, and then they started stealing choc chips as well. And then Mum finds out, and then you get in trouble because you're the one that sets the example. Being the oldest sibling is hard. But when we talk about setting the example, there's one person that has set the example around this idea of forgiveness, and that's God. God doesn't just tell us, hey, you should forgive because that's the right thing to do, but he actually acts it out. He walked the walk, and we can actually see how to forgive from the example that he set. And you might be wondering, how has he done this? And there's actually a big indicator of it right here in the room tonight, and that's the cross. And whether you not have been to church or not before, you see crosses everywhere. People that don't even know anything about God, they still sometimes wear crosses around their neck. Or never thought I'd have a crying baby while I was preaching at youth, but there you go. There's one for something new every day. That's definitely a new one. I was talking about the cross. That's what I was talking about. The cross is the ultimate symbol of forgiveness. And why is that the case? It's because what the cross represents. It's a sign of forgiveness because you and I, we mess up. Who here is perfect in the room? Some people raise their hand confirming that they are not perfect. They just lied to me right there. You and I mess up and we continue to mess up. The Bible uses a word called sin, talking about how when we mess up, we go against God. And we do. We lie. We cheat. We steal. We make mistakes. But instead of us paying the consequences of this and actually being separated from God, a perfect God, he did the ultimate act of forgiveness by sending his one and only Son to come to earth, to actually die on a cross in our place, so that he would take on all the mistakes that we've made, so that we would be forgiven. Our slate is wiped clean. And he rose from the dead. It says that whoever chose to believe in him, it doesn't matter what you've done, what you'll do in the future, that if we give these things to him, we are forgiven. We can have eternal life with him. And I'm not saying that there's no consequences for the things we do, but if we bring things to God, we're actually forgiven no matter what. He's shown us mercy. And mercy is we're actually given something that we don't deserve. We haven't earned this ourselves, but rather we give these things to him and he forgives us. There's nothing we can do to earn that. So if we're thinking about what God says and we're thinking about what Jesus says around forgiveness, it's probably a good idea to look at what Jesus said while he was on earth. And so he had 12 friends, 12 disciples that were his followers, these closest companions. There's a guy called Matthew that wrote one of the books of the Bible that actually gives a recount on Jesus's life. And he shares this story about one of his closest friends, a guy called Peter, which some of you may remember we talked about in week one. He was the guy that got out of the boat, that stepped out in faith. And so Peter, we're going to pick it up from Matthew 18:21-22. We'll put that on the screen. So Peter's, he's got this question going in his head around forgiveness. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me, who does wrong to me? Is it up to 7 times? Do I count it? Do I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? 7th time, I'm done. Like, no more." But no, Jesus responds, "I tell you, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Does anyone know what 70 times 7 is? 490. Boom, quick math. Good work, Lachlan. You get a star. And I don't think in this instance Jesus was saying, once you reach 490, that's it, that's done. But rather it's actually saying that Jesus is telling us that we're not to put a limit on it, on how much we should actually forgive someone. And then Jesus expands on this and he tells a story to Peter and his other disciples, his other followers. And I'm going to paraphrase it. You'll notice pretty quickly that it's a paraphrase. But there's this guy called Stephen. Stephen's in the house tonight. This guy called Stephen, his dad has just bought a really nice car. And we'll put a photo up on the screen. It's actually an incredibly fancy car. I don't know much about cars, but this is the Bugatti Devo. It's worth $6 million. It's one of the most expensive cars in the world. Somehow Stephen's dad has managed to buy this. And Stephen has actually got his P's. So one morning, the day after his dad's bought the car, he decides, I'm going to take this car for a bit of a test drive myself. He takes his dad's keys, he gets in the car, starts fanging it around the neighbourhood, having a bit of fun, putting his foot down, seeing how fast it will go. But then at one stage, he takes a corner a little bit too quick, has no control, spins out, and ends up wrapping the car right around a pole. He's fine, but the car is completely written off. And you think about it, when you crash your parents' car, that's bad. Can you imagine crashing a $6 million car? Stephen is freaking out. He's thinking to himself, what is Dad going to say? I've done this terrible thing. I've written off my dad's car. I can never pay this back. I don't know. I don't have $6 million, let alone how can I even earn $6 million in my life to pay my dad back? And so he comes to his dad and he's expecting his dad to tear shreds off him. He's like, he might even sell him. Like, who knows? Like, how else is he going to pay back that $6 million? He's freaking out. And his dad just looks at him and he just goes, you know what, Stephen, that's fine. I thank you so much for coming to me. You know what? I'm going to wipe that slate clean. You don't have to pay me back. I'm going to wipe that slate clean. And Stephen's like, wow, what an incredible dad I have that loves me so much that isn't going to hold this against me. Even though I've done this terrible thing, my dad's going to forgive me. And so then later on in the day, Stephen's hanging out at home and he looks out the window and he sees his little brother George, who's playing with Stephen's remote control car. And as he's driving this remote control car on the road, another car drives along and runs over Stephen's remote control car. And Stephen's like, oh, he is not happy at all. He races out that front door. He grabs his little brother, George, and he throws him up against the wall, almost starts choking him and going, what have you done? You owe me a new car. And then he ends up shaking him upside down, trying to see if any coins will come out. He's like, you need to pay me back. But then Stephen's dad, he rushes out and he sees Stephen doing this. And he chats to Stephen and goes, Stephen, what are you doing? Can't you remember what happened just earlier today? I wiped that debt that you had to me for crashing my car, yet you can't even forgive your little brother who's written off your remote control car. And that's so much, that sort of summarizes somewhat, it's not the greatest story, but we'll deal with that. But it summarizes what our relationship is sometimes with God, that God, we may know that God's done these incredible things for us, yet when someone wrongs us, we're like, heck no, I ain't forgiving them, I'm holding on to that, I deserve to do that. We don't want to cancel anyone else's debt, we want to hold on to this unforgiveness. But what does God say? So in Ephesians 4:32, another book of the Bible, it reads, be kind and compassionate to other, to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. This is another example that Christ has forgiven us so much, so we're actually to forgive others. So what I want you to remember tonight is forgiven people forgive. And so I want you to remember this tonight. So I want you to bear with me right now. This week I've been learning some sign language and I've learned some American sign language. It's a little bit different to Australian sign language. So I'm going to teach you how to say forgiven people forgive in sign language. So I'm going to put my mic down for a second. So the word for forgiven, you can act along with me. If you put your left hand out like this, like you're asking for something, and then with your right hand, make sort of like a Big Mac sort of hand, and then fold in your thumb there. And so the word for forgiven is if you wipe your hand across that twice. I love it how it symbolizes sort of that slate being wiped clean. And then the word for people is if you put your index finger up, and then your middle finger like that, like an L, or sort of an L, and then you put your thumb on your middle finger, and then you race like this. So that's how to say people. The word for forgive and forgiven is the same. So if we put that together, forgiven, people, forgive. All right, do that to the person next to you. All right, great work, guys. Definitely some interesting interpretations out there. Forgiven people forgive. That God's forgiven us so much that he calls us to forgive others. It even says in the book of Mark, it says when we're to pray, in Mark 11:25, it says when we're to pray, we should actually stop before we pray and actually go seek out someone that we need to forgive. In another part of the Bible, it talks about if we're unforgiving, that God will actually be unforgiving with us, that he will actually come after us. And that's pretty strong wording. It doesn't actually seem that fair, does it? And you might be asking yourself a question tonight is, why should I forgive someone? They should pay for what they've done to me. What they did was terrible, and they don't deserve for me not to be angry at them. And I want to tell you two things tonight, why I believe that we're called to forgive. And that's firstly that if you and I, if we bring these things to God and we're forgiven, then that means for that other person that's wronged you, that God can actually also forgive them. Secondly is I believe firmly that God wants us to have a life and a life to the full. And so God is telling us this, that he's so aware of what unforgiveness actually does to our lives. And what does unforgiveness do? When we're unforgiving, we hold those emotions of being angry, being bitter, holding a grudge. Sometimes it's even said of like eating yourself from the inside. Those emotions that we have there, they're unresolved. So therefore, if you've been hurt in this friendship and you're holding on to it, you're not forgiving that person. If you have that anger inside of you, that bitterness, you're actually going to take that into other relationships in your life. You might find later down the track, for some reason, you're like, why am I freaking out at this person with anger and emotions far greater than what it seems like in this situation? And I believe it's because you're actually holding on to the things that you haven't let go before. So when someone abandons you in some way, you may freak out because you're still holding on to those emotions of other situations. You've never actually forgiven that person, released yourself. Release that person and release yourself from those emotions. There's a guy that some of you may have heard of called Nelson Mandela. We'll put his photo up on the screen. This is a guy who was locked up for 27 years. He was a guy that stood up against the apartheid in South Africa. This was the laws against pretty much for allowing racism against people with black skin and white skin. There were different laws. Say you're on a bus and you had white skin, you could tell someone with black skin to get off and that was your seat. There was lots of racism with that. And Nelson Mandela stood up against this and he ended up being put in prison. And then later he was released and actually became president of South Africa. And if you think about this guy had 27 years of his life pretty much taken away from him. He was locked up for standing up for what was right. And if anyone was able to be bitter, I believe it was him. But I love this quote that he says. We'll put it up on the screen. It says, this is what he says. He says, forgiveness is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. We can see so often that forgiveness is actually for the benefit of the person that you're forgiving. That, yeah, that's the right thing to do if I forgive them. But Jesus, I firmly believe it, is telling us that actually forgiveness is actually for your benefit, to actually not be chained to that person, that memory, to allow it to affect your future relationships. But one thing I want you to know tonight is that forgiveness does not mean you don't forget. Forgiveness doesn't mean you don't forget. You don't continue to put yourselves in harm's way. And it's also definitely not allowing someone to get away with it, to not report it. But rather, forgiveness is not holding onto those emotions, holding onto those grudges. And in our lives, how easy is it to say, like, I forgive you? Like, you may even think that that's the right thing to do, that you should do that in that situation. But sometimes we can say we forgive people without actually really realizing what they've done to you and how that's actually affected you. Sometimes someone's wronged you, and it's not actually what they've done to you, but it's what's been taken away. It's about what the emotions are that you've actually experienced. There's many different emotions that can be caused in that. And so I believe that if you're to truly forgive someone in that, you actually need to acknowledge the things that have been taken from you, the emotions that you've experienced. I've heard a really great story of a girl that went through some really traumatic things. And for her to actually forgive, she actually needed to write down all the different emotions, all the different actions that someone had done against her. And that's incredibly tough. Like, that brings up many different wounds, and she was bawling her eyes out. But that was one way that she could actually acknowledge these emotions, to write it all out, to make that first step. And when we acknowledge that we forgive someone, it's not saying that what you did was okay. It's rather saying what you did was wrong. It hurt me, but I'm not going to carry that anymore. I'm actually going to set you free of that, and I'm going to set myself free from that. I'm no longer connected to you in that way. I'm going to show you mercy, even though maybe you don't deserve it. And I'm actually going to take God's example and follow that. Another thing around forgiveness is forgiving yourself. Like, we can hear about how God's forgiven us and how we should forgive others, but sometimes the hardest person to ever forgive is actually yourself. You may blame yourself for something that you've done or something that's happened in your life. But when we admit things that we've done wrong, when we actually give that to God through what he's done on the cross, there's actually nothing that you have done that God can't forgive. There's nothing too far gone for God to forgive you in that. So we need to give that to him. One of my last points is, the other question you might need to ask yourself is, do I need to ask for forgiveness? Sometimes we can go, yep, I need to forgive that person. I need to do that. But sometimes we need to take responsibility for our own actions. We need to swallow our pride. We actually need to say sorry, to ask for forgiveness. It's not an easy thing to do. It's actually really intimidating to go up to someone and to ask for forgiveness, to say sorry. And I was driving outside of the car park. I went down Sunnymead Drive the other day, and I went down Hub Drive. As I approached, there's a roundabout there. So there's Taylor's Road East on the right. And then on the left is a homestead, as well as then this Hub Drive. And the craziest thing happened. I pulled up to the roundabout, and as I pulled up, three other cars pulled up at the exact same time. So as I pulled up, we all just stopped, and we all just looked at each other, just waiting. What do we do? Waiting for the next person. I'm like, do I give way? And then they're probably thinking, do they give way? And it sort of went around in a circle. And it felt like about 5 minutes, but it was probably about 10 seconds. But we were all just waiting there, waiting for the other person to make a move. And then I didn't make the move, but someone else made the move. And then the person to the right of them moved, and then the other person moved, and then the other person moved. And sometimes in your lives, you may have wronged someone, or someone may have wronged you, and maybe you're both at fault, but it's actually waiting for the first person to actually make a move, to make amends. And I wonder, are you able to do that yourself? Are you able to take the first step and to actually ask for forgiveness? Sometimes one of the wisest things that I've ever been told in my life around relationships, whether this is parents, friendships, or romantic, is, can you see the other person's perspective? I'm not saying that you have to agree with them. I'm not saying that you have to completely understand, but can you see their point of view? Can you get in their shoes? Can you see maybe where your actions, maybe the words you've said, maybe the emotions that you've caused someone to feel? And I think sometimes we need to not just try to justify the things that we've done because of what they've done, but can we take their perspective? I know this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but parents are a big one. Like, I know for myself with my mum will ask me, how was your day? How was camp? How was this? When I was at home, make sure you get home by a certain time. And how annoying is that? I remember many times just lashing out at her, saying something that maybe I shouldn't have. And then if we rewind and I take that perspective of her, it's actually pretty amazing that I have a mum that loves me, that cares for me enough to want me at home to make sure that I'm safe, to actually cares about what happened in my day and many different things in our lives. We need to actually take the perspective of someone else. In our lives though, we can't control the actions of other people, how they'll respond. And you may ask for forgiveness, you may say you're sorry, and maybe they're not going to respond in the way that you want them to. Maybe your relationship will be restored, maybe it won't. And it's not always the case. But even though it's important to take that first step yourself. I want you to also to know is that time does not heal all wounds with unforgiveness. Do you know when someone like breaks their leg like really, really badly and like, they've got like two knees? I was going to put a photo up on the screen, but I almost fainted looking at them, so I'm not going to put any up on the screen. And you look at those injuries and you go, imagine just going into the person that's broken their leg twice and go, don't worry, mate, just leave that for a while. That'll get better, won't it? No, that's not going to get better. That person needs surgery. They need to put that leg back together. Otherwise, it's not going to heal. And sometimes that's what we can do with unforgiveness. We can go, you know what? If I just hold on to this, if I keep holding on to it, it's going to get better. But I love a quote from one of my favorite speakers, Andy Stanley, put up on the screen. It says, forgiveness is the first step in emotional healing. When we forgive, it doesn't mean that it immediately makes that better. Sometimes it's actually really hard in that stage of forgiveness, but it's actually the first step. Like when we talk about surgery, like with that leg injury, when you have surgery, it actually really hurts. Have you ever had surgery before? Immediately after, you're sometimes bringing up old wounds. It really hurts. And sometimes that's with unforgiveness as well, that when we actually forgive, it brings up many different emotions, but it's actually that first step in emotional healing. We need to uncover some of these things that are buried deep. And this relationship may never be the same, but I believe that when we take this first step of forgiveness, when we take this first step, that those emotions, it may take a little while, maybe a long time, but they will not have the same power over you. But when you can actually look back at those emotions, the damage that's been caused to you, you can go, how incredible is my God? That these difficult things can actually be a reminder of how powerful our God is, the love he has for you, and how he's actually been able to work in your life. As Christians, as followers of Christ, I believe that we are called to forgive and also to forgive others. That God has set the example for us to forgive, and it's actually for our own benefit. So I just want to close with three different questions for you tonight, just to think through yourself. Do you need to forgive someone? Whether it's a friend, a parent, a bully, a past relationship. Maybe do you need to ask for forgiveness? Maybe is that person in the room right now that you need to ask for forgiveness? Do you need to take that first step? And lastly, do you need to forgive yourself as Jesus has already forgiven you? So as I close, I'd love just for you to close your eyes with me right now. And I want you just to clench your right fist as tightly as you can, just to hold that tight. And sometimes this signifies our unforgiveness, that we're holding onto these emotions, we're holding onto this anger, this bitterness, and it's actually hurting us. It's like that quote that Nelson Mandela said, that it's actually like drinking poison. And I want to pray for you tonight in a second, that maybe for you tonight, you want to actually release that, release yourself of those emotions, to release that person, to actually take that first step to emotional healing. So as you've got that fist grip really tightly, if you want to tonight, just to symbolize the start of forgiveness and to actually release that. On the count of three, I just want you to release your hand. In one, two, three, release. I'm just going to pray for you now. Dear God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love and care for us so much. Thank you for what you did on the cross and how our slate is wiped clean. I just pray for every person in the room tonight that is struggling with this area of forgiveness. I just pray you work powerfully in their lives, and I pray for those that have released their hand tonight, that you replace those feelings of anger, of bitterness, of sadness, and you actually replace that with your peace, your love, your strength, your joy. We just give these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.